You may be seated. I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 8, we'll be reading the first 21 verses. Between Mark and John in the New Testament on page 1027 of your pew Bible. Well, the Gospel of Luke has begun, I pray, to strengthen our assurance in the truth of who Jesus is and what it is that he came to do, namely that Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, the eternal Son of God, has come to seek and to save that which was lost. But the kingdom of God is not like any other kingdom that you could ever imagine or have ever experienced. Its citizens are not the self-righteous. They are repenting sinners. Those who suffer on account of Christ are blessed, but those who seek their own wealth and satisfaction and popularity in this life will one day mourn and weep for eternity. Unlike many in our day, Jesus didn't soft-pedal his message. He didn't try to sugarcoat his sermons or ease into his message and sermons with a funny story or sugar-coated illustration, all just to set the mind of his hearers at ease. He told it like it is. John the Baptist, you will recall, had sent messengers to question whether or not Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ, or whether they should wait for another. And then with a demonstration, Jesus answered that the prophecy of Isaiah was fulfilled in the very ministry that he held, and that blessed is the one who is not offended by Christ. But the fact is, many were and many are offended by Christ, by his work, by his ministry, both then and today. And when the word of God is proclaimed from the pulpit or in your homes or at your workplace and on the street, you will find that many are offended at it. An example of this is what we saw last week in Jesus forgiving the many sins of this woman of the city. While there sat Simon, this Pharisee, a man who seemed to have an impeccable religious reputation, and he looked on with disbelief, doubting that Jesus was even so much as a prophet, much less the Son of God who could forgive sins. But on the other hand, there are some who do hear the word of God, and with great joy they believe the gospel promise. And the seed of the word of God grows and it bears fruit. And this was exemplified in the response of the woman who there wept at Jesus' feet. She loved much because she had been forgiven much. She had recognized her vile sin, but she also recognized who it was that sat there, the one who could forgive even her of her sin. And therefore, she returned much gratitude for the pardon of her sin. But before we continue in the Gospel of Luke chapter 8, let us pray and ask God's Spirit to help us to illumine our minds and hearts for the reading and preaching of His Holy Word. Our Father, this is Your Word, and so we ask that You would open our eyes to understand it, to break this hard ground, that we may have the Word of God implanted and grow and bear much fruit. After all, this is a passage about hearing Your Word rightly and bearing fruit accordingly. And we do pray that by Your Spirit, each one of us would listen closely to this passage, that we would respond to it with faithfulness. And we pray that we would believe Your Word and trust it, but not just that we would hear it, but that we would be doers of the word as well. Grant Your servant strength and boldness, all in the name of Jesus we ask. Amen. Now let us give our attention to the reading of God's holy word, reading from Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse number 1. Speaking of Jesus, Soon afterward, he went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. And when a great crowd was gathering and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock, and as it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell into good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. And he said these things. He called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart, so they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing fall away. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed. He puts it on a stand, that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care, then, how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you." But he answered them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." All flesh is as grass, and its glory like the flower of grass. Grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God remains forever. Hearing and doing. There's often a disconnect between these two things. You may have even heard the words, you know, take out the trash or clean the bathroom all day long, but hearing mom or dad say those things and actually listening and doing those things are the difference between obedience and disobedience. Jesus is going to say here in verse 21, "My mothers and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." In other words, those who belong to Christ's family do not just simply hear his words and think happy thoughts about them. No, his word has gripped them in such a way that they both hear it and they do it. They both believe it and they practice it. And so as we embark upon this passage, let me give you a word of caution, and I want you all to listen very closely to this word of caution. Because you may be tempted to think that because you are here present this morning, you must be the good ground here in this passage. But the truth is, the word of God will be sown this morning. And just showing up to church this morning means that you are one of the four grounds. Showing up to church this morning doesn't make you a Christian any more than walking into your garage makes you a car. So, the real question is, which ground are you? Which ground are you? You can follow this outline in your bulletin if you wish to follow along. Take care how you hear. Take care how you hear, because Jesus recognizes his obedient people. Jesus reveals his truth hidden in parables, and Jesus rewards more light to the persistent. Take care how you hear. First of all, because Jesus recognizes his obedient people. We will see this bookended in verses 1 to 4 and then in verses 19 to 21. And these bookends of Jesus surround Jesus' parable here, and it's an interpretation with a section about women who follow Jesus and then about Jesus' own mother and brothers in verses 19 to 21, which we looked at that parallel passage in our Matthew reading earlier this morning. But did you notice the contrast between those two groups? The former bore no blood relation to Jesus, and yet they were with Jesus in some of his journeys. The latter, well, they were Jesus' family, but they are on the outside. The chapter begins by noting that Jesus was accompanied by his 12 apostles and this group of women whom he had healed of various infirmities. I mean, even those 12 apostles weren't really the sort of people that you'd usually pick if you're going to start some new movement. I mean, remember, Peter, James, and John, they were just lowly fishermen. Peter even was a sinful man by his own admission. Matthew was a tax collector. Thomas, as you probably remember, has issues with doubt. None of them were remarkable in terms of their social status or their natural abilities. Now, add to that bunch, there were these women who followed Jesus, Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Susanna, and many others. And these women were from a variety of social and family backgrounds, sinners, demon-possessed, diseased, and yes, even a woman from Herod's household. But these women now, they are forgiven, restored, they're healed, and they follow Jesus, and they serve and provide for Jesus and perhaps the apostles. I know some of your translations there will say they provided for him and others for them, whether just Jesus or included his apostles in them. But you see, these women are both hearers and doers of the word of God. But then there are Jesus' own family here at the end of the passage. Now, we're not sure within the context of Luke's gospel exactly what their take is at this point in Jesus' ministry, but that's not really the thrust of the matter. The point is that they're standing outside looking in. And as Matthew pointed out, they wanted to speak to Jesus instead of hear from Jesus. In fact, you will read in other gospel accounts, they thought he was crazy. This was the perspective that even the Pharisees had. Remember when Jesus was ministering to Matthew, that is Levi, in his own home, and Levi had invited all his tax collector friends to come and hear Jesus. They're in the home, and they are listening on the inside to Jesus. But on the outside stood the Pharisees looking in. They have the same perspective, as it were, of these Pharisees. Their status, much like Simon's that we looked at last week, is ambiguous. And so Mark draws a connection to this when he states that his mother and his brothers were outside calling to him, seeking to speak to Jesus. But then he says to those who are right there with him, "To you it has been given the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables." So only time is going to tell exactly what sort of soil those on the outside are. While the women at the beginning of this chapter were with Jesus on a regular basis, they received the word with joy. They bore fruit, and so they were showing themselves to be good soil. But that is not because they're so good. No, they were sinners saved by the very grace of God. And God has done a work of conversion in them, giving them repentance and faith. They are following Jesus. It is a work of God in the hearts of his people through the simple means of the word of God preached. It has nothing with how good a person is. It has nothing to do with their status in society. It has everything to do with God's work in and through his word. And this really is the mystery of the kingdom. Christ is scattering the word of the kingdom throughout the land here. And entrance into that kingdom depends on whether or not you are a disciple of Christ. Part of God's true family. Depends on not who your blood parents are, who your blood siblings are. And so then, who are Christ's true disciples? Who's included in his family? Those who included in Jesus' family are, as verse 21 states, those who hear the word of God and do it. This is what the right hearing of the word brings. You hear it, you listen to it, and you do it. And so, those who hear the word and do it are Christ's disciples. And so what we see here in Luke chapter 8 is that the reality runs so deep that even demon-possessed women, even prostitutes, hear and believe the word of God. They repent of their sins. They bear fruit of that repentance. Yes, they can be saved. While those who think they are righteous enough, well, they will spend an eternity in the lake of fire. And yet again, Jesus here is completely overturning the assumptions of his time and even in our present age. According to the world's assumptions, Jesus' family should have had special privilege. But what we see here is that the kingdom of God doesn't apply those sorts of assumptions. In the kingdom of God, what matters is hearing the word of God, believing it, and doing the word of God. And it doesn't matter whether you're royalty like Herod, whether you're a Pharisee like Simon, one of Jesus' own family members, tax collectors, prostitutes, demon-possessed, the case remains always the same. You cannot presume upon God's favor on account of your own presumed goodness, your own place in human society. You remember at the end of chapter 7, Simon the Pharisee is never said to have repented, and yet the sinful woman did. Here in chapter 8, sinners and formerly demon-possessed women here are following Jesus. They are applying themselves to the work of his ministry while his own family remained on the outside. You see, the tree is known by its fruit. The type of soil is known by the very crop that it produces. Jesus' family members are those who hear and do the word of God. So the question is, how is your hearing? How is your hearing? Now we must note here that it is not that they did enough in order to get themselves into the kingdom of God. It is not like these women or the woman we looked at last week did enough. And Jesus says, okay, I will now let you into my kingdom. No, my friend, as we saw last week, those who have been forgiven much, they love much. They want to do it. That is evidence. It is fruit that what they have inside is different. God has changed them from the inside out. So, my friends, take care how you hear. Jesus recognizes his obedient people. But secondly, we see in verses 5 to 15, we must take care how we hear, because Jesus reveals his truth hidden in parables. And so after telling us in verses 1 to 3 that Jesus is traveling throughout Galilee with his 12 apostles and this group of women, Luke tells us that Jesus has a large field of people listening as he tells them his parable. A farmer goes out to sow his seed, and he indiscriminately just begins throwing seed everywhere. And you might be thinking to yourself, that's not a very intelligent farmer. Don't think like that. That's not the point of this passage. The point of this passage is not about where the sower decides to sow his seed. The point of this passage is how the ground receives it. So this farmer goes out, he sows a seed. Other seeds fall on the wayside. Other seeds fall on rocky ground. Other seeds fall on stony ground, and yet other seeds fall on good ground. It says some of the seed on the wayside, this path that everyone was walking on, the birds came down and they would eat the seed and fly away. Some seed that fell on the stony ground, it begins to grow. It takes root and begins to grow, and after a little while is choked off by the thorns. That seed that was sown on the stony ground, well, it too seems to take root at first, begins to grow, but then as soon as the sun comes out, it dries up and withers away. And so Jesus then gives this last type of ground. There's a good ground. This is the ground that every farmer wants to put his seed in. It is planted. It takes root. It grows. But despite all the hardships of thorns or sun, because its roots go down deep into the soil and draw that moisture up, it grows, and not just grows a little, it begins to bear fruit. It should not be lost upon us that this is where Jesus ends the parable. Now, Mark clarifies that it wasn't until Jesus and the disciples were alone that he asked them for an interpretation. So why is it that Jesus spoke in parables? Is it merely just an earthly story with a heavenly meaning? Is it just Jesus using an illustration to help us understand a difficult concept? Well, no. Actually, Jesus does give us the reason why it is that he spoke in parables. Jesus says those who were eager to learn, who were with him, he says to them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God." But for others, it is spoken in parables. Why? So that seeing they may not see. So that hearing they may not understand. In other words, Jesus is hiding the saving truth, and he is hiding it in stories of grace. He's not speaking in parables so that everyone can understand him. The reason for the parables was so that the mysteries of the kingdom might be known by those whom to whom this knowledge is given. A good example might be as a minister is preaching. Some of you might be thinking your mind is wandering off into the la-la land. Others of you are sleeping. You need to wake up and hear the word of God as it is proclaimed and preached. You, as your neighbor, must hear the word of God. Your neighbors across the street, beside you, at work, they must hear the word of God preached. But here's the problem. You might be giving them the gospel, and you might be pulling out your hair frustrated because no one seems to be listening. Yes, my dear friends, I understand. I understand. This is what Jesus is telling us. Of course, the parable of the sower makes perfect agricultural sense to us. You can understand. You don't even have to be a farmer to understand how this parable works. How seed that is sown on a pathway won't take root, and the birds can come and take that seed right away. When farmers put down their seed, it's not the case that each and every seed begins to bear fruit. Well, that is quite simple. You and I can understand that. What the parable represents, the point of the very mystery of the kingdom here, is revealed by what Jesus says. Only those grasped by those who whom that knowledge is given, only those who the word of God comes into their hearts, they hear it. It takes root. They begin to be changed, and they grow and bear much fruit. To them, the word of God takes root, and it produces fruit. Not because there's something special about them. It takes root because to them, the knowledge of the kingdom of God has been given. You see, the parable itself is really a parable about the parables. That's the genius, really, of what Jesus is teaching here. This parable of the sower informs all the other parables that Jesus will tell in his ministry. To those to whom it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom, they are the good soil. The word of God takes root. It sinks in, and it begins to bear a crop. These are the ones who respond to the message of the kingdom. They repent of their sins. They follow Jesus. They listen to his teaching. And then they go forth and obey. The others, they all reject it. They fall away. But eventually you will know the type of soil by the crop that it produces. In other words, Jesus is saying to the crowds, I know that all you hear the words coming out of my mouth. But are you really listening? Are you really listening? I could say that to each of you. You all have ears. You all can hear the words come out of my mouth. But are you really listening? But Jesus doesn't leave us to ourselves to figure out the meaning of this parable, thankfully. He explains it in verses 11 to 15. The seed is the word of God. Now that itself illuminates really this whole parable, doesn't it? Just having that little key helps us understand the rest of the passage. This is what Jesus has been doing. He's been proclaiming the word of God about the kingdom to masses of people. And some of the people opposed him outright. Others of them were quite ambivalent toward his message. Others received it with joy. But now only time will tell what sort of fruit is born in their lives. And so if the seed is the word of God, then the different types of soil are the seed on which the word of God is sown. And that corresponds to different sorts of people. Different sorts of reactions. Different sorts of hearers. The seed that is sown on the path are those who hear the word. But that word is snatched away immediately by the devil. For these people, there is no growth whatsoever. They just simply reject the message. You have met these people over and over and over again. Some of them, perhaps, in this very sanctuary this morning. Others of you who may be listening online, you have heard the word of God and it bore no fruit. And you think, therefore, the problem must be with the gospel. It didn't do anything for me. The problem must be with the gospel. And Jesus says it's not a problem with the word of God. Problem is with your heart. Take care how you hear. But then there's this seed that is sown on the rocky places. These are people who they initially receive the word with great joy. And since their hearts are hard, they have no root initially. Well, these people, it seems like, well, there's thorns that are growing, so this seed also begins to grow right along with the thorns. But when testing comes, when the good things of this life come, they are choked off. These people may like the gospel in some way. They possibly like the message of eternal life. They like the concept of love and grace and mercy. Maybe these people even want heavenly riches that Jesus has been talking about. Perhaps maybe they're just afraid of going to hell, and so they want to try this gospel out. They want to try Jesus, as it were. But when the time comes for the genuineness of their faith to be tested, they fall away, choked off by the cares of this world, because the word hasn't really taken root in their heart. The gospel hasn't really penetrated all the way down. See, there are people who deceive themselves. They think they are followers of Christ because, after all, they heard the word of God, and at first they begin to grow a little bit. And so they say, well, see, I'm a Christian. Oftentimes you will note that these and the ones on the stony ground will often point to the past to show that they must be a Christian. Look, I prayed. I felt joy at one time. At one point, it seemed like I was a Christian. So it must be the case that I'm a Christian today. But then it becomes clear in their Christian life, whether it is the good things in this life, and they don't feel like they need Jesus anymore, or maybe it is the hardship that we're going to look at in the stony ground. But trials just prove too much for the faith. In fact, remember the Apostle Peter tells us in his epistle, now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the result of trials for those whose hearts have been fully penetrated by the gospel. The testing actually proves the genuineness of your faith. Those of you who think, well, it was because of trials or because of good things in my life that I'm not a believer right now. I'm not following Christ as I ought to be. Know that then that means you are part of the dross. You know, when you go to purify gold, there's the dross, the good impurities that raise to the top, scraped off and thrown away. And what is left behind is the gold. The testing proves the genuineness. The heat makes it more pure. But if your faith is shallow, if it is a half-hearted faith, and there is no root, Jesus says here in Luke chapter 8, those trials will eventually cause you to fall away. So if your faith is that which goes into the stony ground, the word of God takes root initially, the trials will come and you will fall away. And then there's the seed that is sown among the thorny ground. Those are those who receive the word, and as time goes on, the cares and riches, the pleasures of life begin to choke it out. Ultimately, the things of this world are so alluring that when people find that push comes to shove, it becomes clear they're actually living for this present age rather than the age to come. You will find oftentimes these are the ones who, when they go through trials, maybe it's deep down, they're suffering a lot, they've lost a lot of money, or they're down on their luck, as they would call it. They turn to Jesus. Some people call this a foxhole conversion. They'll turn to Jesus, oh Lord, help me. And then as soon as it seems like they've got their feet under them, their life is going well, those cares choke off the faith, and they wither and dry up. Now, given what Jesus has said all the way back in Luke chapter 6 about there being really only two ways, only two types of trees, two ways to build a house, you can't presume that you're a follower of Christ if the cares of this world are choking you out, or if the trials in this life cause you to leave. And so if the cares and riches and pleasures, if the trials are more important to you than Christ, more important than his gospel, well, then there's something seriously wrong with your current situation, isn't there? Are you taking care how you hear? Are you getting rid of the thorns in your life? In other words, if it is the good things in your life that would keep you from Christ, then listen to how Christ would deal with this. As he encounters a rich young ruler, He says, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me. What about trials? Jesus says, if your right hand offends you, cut it off. Better to enter into the kingdom with one hand than to enter into hell with two. If it's the trials in this life or the cares of this life that are going to draw you away from Christ, brothers and sisters, dear friends, dear unbeliever, get rid of it and come and follow Christ. But then notice this good soil, verse 15. They hold fast to the word in an honest and good heart, and they bear fruit with patience. So what does it mean to hold fast to the word of God with an honest and good heart? It means that we hear the word of God. We believe it entirely. You see, the other sorts of soil, they have these other things that are vying for their devotion. The seed along the path remains under the dominion of Satan. The rocky ground, that only allows for a shallow faith. The thorn-infested soil is concerned about the very things of this world, more so than God's kingdom. But the good soil, it isn't shaped by any of those things. It takes the word in. It treasures it. It strives to grow by putting it into practice. And just like a tree is known by the overall amount of fruit that it produces, so the type of soil is known over the type of crop that it produces. And that's why Jesus specifically says that the good soil bears fruit with patience. How many of us have desired to see more fruit in our own lives? Or sometimes we'll look at someone else and we'll say, well, I don't see much fruit in their life. Well, he's not compared to me. Be patient. Be patient. The paint is still wet, folks. You don't plant a peach tree and hope next summer to get peaches. Be patient. Be patient. Water it. Take care of it. Tend to it. And even that will bear much fruit. So take care how you hear, because Jesus recognizes his obedient people. Jesus reveals his truth hidden in parables. And lastly, Jesus rewards more light to the persistent. This is what we get here in verses 16 to 18. He tells us how to take care how we hear. The issue here is, how is your hearing? In verse 16, he talks about a lighting of the lamp. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar and puts it under bed, or what does he do? He puts it on a stand so that all those who come into the room may see the light. Now, what does this have to do? What is Jesus' point in all this? And what is it? Where's the connection between what he just got done saying and this passage, or even that which is to come? Well, remember the context. Jesus is sowing the seed. He is proclaiming the secrets of the kingdom. He is, in a sense, lit the lamp, and he has put it on a stand for us all to see. And so verse 17 gives us this explanation. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Nothing is secret that will not be made manifest. Now remember, back in verse 10, to you has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. Those on the outside want to come and say something to Jesus when they should have been on the inside listening to Jesus. To you have been given the secrets, and I've lit a lamp so that you can see. Those secrets can be brought to light. Jesus has lit the lamp. He's put it on a stand. He has proclaimed the word, and he is making known the secrets of the kingdom of God. But only those with eyes to see will see it. Only those with ears to hear will hear and do. And so the exhortation in verse 18 is, take care, be diligent on how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given. And from the one who has not, those to whom the secrets of the kingdom of God have not been revealed, even what they think they have will one day be taken away. So take care how you hear. Make sure that you're really listening. I'm proclaiming the truth of God's kingdom. What kind of soil are you? Are you listening? Or are you sleeping? Are you taking care how you hear? Or are you thinking about lunch? My dear friends, take care how you hear. Here is life-giving gospel, good news that Jesus Christ has come to forgive you of your sin. Here is the good news that he has come to wipe away your guilt. Here is the good news that he has come to save his people from their sins. There on the cross, he suffered and died to take the place of his people. 3 days later, he rose again. He is risen, and we celebrate this. And one day, those who are in Christ, though they die, they will rise again. When the souls of believers are at their death, their bodies go on the ground for sure, but their soul goes to be with Christ. Their bodies, still united to Christ, will rest there in the grave until the resurrection, when it will rise and be made into a new body. This is the very good news that we have been proclaiming. This is the good news of the kingdom. This is what you need to listen carefully to and then do it. Go forth and proclaim the gospel. If you are a good soil, then you are bearing fruit. And if you will be diligent and you will take care and listen, and if you have that gospel seed planted deep within your heart by the work of the God's Spirit, my friends, as it grows and bears fruit, you're going to want to know more. This is to the one who's been given a little, more will be given. How much is it? How many oftentimes is it that I have heard, you listen, I've heard that before. I'm good. I've read the Bible before. I don't need to read it anymore. I've been to church. I'm good. I went to church all growing up, so I've got my religion. I've gone to church this morning. I've given God my hour. The rest of it is mine. If you deceive yourself into thinking that you're listening when you're really not, even what you do have will be taken away. And this is primarily an issue not just during Jesus' time, but also in our present. So the real question in this passage, though many have asked it of this passage, by the way, the real question of this passage isn't, well, have you been converted or not? That's not the real question here. The question should be asked differently. It is, do you believe now? Are you bearing fruit now? That will answer the former question. Do you believe now? Are you hearing the word of God now? Are you eager to get more of the gospel? Are you taking it in and then putting it into practice? Well, that's important because we can tend to take a look at these passages like this parable and get caught up in all the little things, whether or not you've really been saved or if you can lose your salvation. The answer is no, you cannot lose your salvation. But while there's a sense in which those are valid questions and other texts can help inform us, focusing on those can detract us from the main point, from what the Lord is saying to you here and now this morning. Take care how you hear. Take care how you hear. Men and women, boys and girls, look at me. Listen up. Take care how you hear. Because Jesus recognizes his obedient people. He reveals his truth hidden in parables, and he rewards more light to the persistent. Now, you will remember the call of Psalm 95 that's taken up in the book of Hebrews. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And so it is the duty of each one of us to be attentive to how we're hearing the word of God, when it is read, when it is preached. Sure, it's a responsibility of the preacher to preach in such a way that it's understanding, that's compelling, it's not trying to put you to sleep, it's not boring in that way. But it's also the responsibility of you as hearers to be diligent in, to be attentive to the Word of God, to prepare your hearts and your minds to it, and to make an effort to understand and practice it. In fact, here is how our catechism gives these guidelines, that the Word may become effectual to salvation. We must attend to it with diligence, preparation, and prayer. We must receive it with faith and love, lay it up in our hearts, and practice it in our lives. This is the very thing that Jesus has been telling us. So take care how you hear. Christ is still speaking through his word to you today. He is speaking to you. So how is your hearing? What are you doing with that word? For a moment, I'm going to speak to you, brothers and sisters, members here at Armor Congregation. You need to attend to the Word of God with diligence, preparation, and prayer. That's what you do before hearing the Word of God. It's one of the reasons that we have this time of silent preparation before the service. It isn't time to kind of get to your seat and fumble with papers and see all what the score of a game is. No, it is a time to prepare your hearts. What about even before then? How do you spend your Saturday evenings? Whatever you do, there should be this element of praying and preparing your hearts for worship, hearing the Word of God. What are your Sunday mornings like? Are they filled with just chaos and busyness? Or do you come prepared to hear the Word of God? That's often a lot easier said than done, I know, especially those who have a lot of children to round up the family. But we need to do whatever we can to be as prepared as we can be to hear the Word of God. Then we are to receive it. We're to receive the word in faith and love. We are to lay it up in our hearts, practice it in our lives. And this what happens, this is what you are to do when you hear the word of God and then after you hear the word of God. As the word of God is preached, we're to receive it in faith and love. We are to lay it up in our hearts. So how do you approach the word of God as it is read, as it is preached? I used to work third shift. And I remember working all night Saturday and trying to go up to Sunday. Not much sleep. You felt tired. And I'd have to get up and stand in the back so I could hear the word of God. So is our posture of one of submission, one of reception, or is it one of superiority and skepticism? How do we approach the Word of God? We need to practice it in our lives. As we go forth after hearing the sermon, I hope that it is not such that you have heard the Word of God preached and proclaimed, and then you walk out the same way that you came in. Right hearing includes doing. So take care how you hear. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we know we need spiritual ears, even to begin to listen. And part knows, Lord, acknowledges that we know that we are sinners, and we need your grace and mercy. It means recognizing that so many things that we set our hearts and affections upon in this world are the distractions, are the cares, the nice things in this world, but they will never last. Above all, this means that we must recognize that you are our only hope. And in the end, you are our greatest joy. So, Lord, it is my prayer that no member of this congregation would, Lord, not know these three things. That no one under the sound of my voice would stand before the Almighty on the last day and have every last thing taken away. Lord God, grant us ears to hear. In the name of Jesus, we pray.